Hello there, good morning. Is it possible if I can please speak with a Mrs. Nicole Black, please?
Yes.
Hi Nicole, my name's Billy. I'm giving you a call today from MMA Legal. It's regarding the Scottish redress claim you've applied for due to your time within the care system.
Uh-huh.
So you've come through to me today just to make sure that we've got everything on the system for you, explain everything and get everything put into submission for you today. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yes.
Perfect. So I'm just going to pull up a file. I'm going to make sure that we've got the correct details on file. Before I do so, I just want to explain to you that it's never going to be the case where we require you to go and fork out evidence or go and face any of these people. That will not be the case. Once we've taken a brief statement from you, we'll locate everything and we fight it for you, darling. Okay?
Yes.
So having a look here on your application, I've got it as Nicole Black at an email of nicoleblack25@hotmail.co.uk. Is that the best email for you, darling?
Yes.
Brilliant. And this mobile number is the best mobile number for you if the line ever disconnects for any reason?
Yes.
That's not a problem there. Now, can I ask you, do you go by any other names other than Nicole Black at all?
No.
Perfect. And can I please ask for your date of birth there as well, please, darling?
It's 24th of the 6th, 1980.
No problem. Now, in regards to yourself, before I go any further, what I want to explain to you is, in regards to this case, we're not going to be clutching at straws here today and giving false promises and hope to get your compensation. That's not the way it works. What will happen is we take a brief statement from you just to get an understanding of where you're placed and what you've had to deal with, and we will be locating all documents and all files against yourself. Now, as soon as we prove that you are living in these places, our job is to make sure that we get you the great evaluation for your entitlement and compensation. Now, we understand no money is going to take away what you've had to deal with. We will ensure you to get you the maximum amount just for that compensation and justice that you deserve, okay?
Yes.
Now, having a look here, darling, just on your application, could I please ask you for your current home postcode where you are residing at the moment?
Delta Echo 75-7 Norma Jane.
Living in England, perfect, not a problem, that's not an issue. And that is shown to me as Breach Road in Heanor, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
What door number is that?
26B.
26B for Bravo, let me just get that on here for you, perfect. And in regards to this case, what we can tell you is it will be wrong for me to give you any sort of direct value at this moment in time with each case is different. And again, I understand it's not just about the money side of things. Now, what we can tell you is there's no cap on it, so you can get anything over 200, 250,000. There is no cap on this, but what we can tell you is the average claim at the moment is averaging at 48,000. That's just so you've got something to look forward to that you can be looking at a lot more than that, darling, okay? Now, could I please ask you, when you were placed into the care system, was it just you that was placed into care, or did you have any siblings that was placed into care at the same time?
No, it was just me that was placed into the care.
And how old was you when you were first placed into care, if you remember?
I was 1 year old.
You know why you were placed into care, or is that not something that you're aware of?
The official records say I was placed in because my biological mother set fire to herself while she was drunk. The story, that's what social services said. What my biological mother said was she was standing next to an electric fire. She had a flannelette nightie on. It was an accident that could have happened in any household at that time. Yes, she set fire to herself and had to go to hospital, so I had to go into care.
Sorry to hear that. Now, back then, they failed everyone in various different ways because they were taking them from the parents for any given reason, and it's not acceptable. Your mum should have been given the correct help there and also not made to...
Yeah.
Or made the situation to be something that it really wasn't.
But what's disgusting is the way they talk about me in the fields. Because I've read my files, what little there is of them, and they're talking about me like I'm a product for sale. You. Because I was blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Not only that, I was born with what's now known as fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. I was eventually put up for adoption. My adoptive parents weren't told, even although the doctor that examined me said that he would like to speak to any prospective adoptive parents so that they could be informed of any problems that they might face in the future. They never met that doctor.
I'm so sorry about that. You've not had any sort of guidance throughout this or anyone that's actually been there to listen out for you or even help you in any way, shape or form?
Yeah. It just, you know.
I mean, in regards to this, I understand I'm opening a can of worms here, even having you have a conversation regarding this. So what I can just let you know is if there's anything I can do to make anything easier for you, do not hesitate to ask me. And I will also pop you a message after this call over on WhatsApp, just so you've got me there for all reasons. If there's anything you need from me, whether it's a taxi claim or have a quick conversation, you've got me there and you just pop me a message over, darling, okay?
Yeah.
Could I please ask you, what area was you growing up in before you were placed into care? Do you know where you were born?
Yeah, I was in Edinburgh. Yeah, I believe it was the West of Hales area.
Thank you for that. And could I please ask you, so obviously I do obviously understand that at the age of 1 year of age, you're not going to remember any of your care settings. Can I ask you, was there any places where you were positioned where you feel like you were unsafe? Do you feel like you were threatened? Do you feel like you were mentally or physically or even sexually abused in any way, shape or form? What places was you in where you wasn't happy?
The last foster, I was in 4 to 5 foster homes within 1 year.
Sorry, was that from 1 year old?
From 1 year to 2 years. I was in between 4 to 5 foster homes. I got passed around the system. And then from 2 to 3, I was in the 1 foster home. Now, what I've been told by my adoptive mum was that I had a tin pram. That was the only toy I had. I couldn't speak at all at 3 years old. She said it took her a lot of time to try to actually get me to speak once she adopts me. And not only that, I've got bunions for the rest of my life because I was putting shoes that were too small for me. And I wasn't potty trained and I was still sleeping in a cot at 3.
Do you know what that family was called or what area you was with when you was in here?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I know that the foster mum and dad were called Margaret and Jim last.
They were called Margaret and Jim. What, sorry?
I don't know what the last name was. I just know that was the name.
Don't worry, that's enough there. I'm going to get that on here for you. You said you was around, that was when you was around 2 to 3, between 2 and 3, that wasn't it?
Yeah, I was with them for a year. And even my social worker, and I can't remember his name, he was angry at that foster family because he said to them, and this is what I got from my adoptive mum. He said to them, I gave you money to get a proper shoe so she could have a proper photograph taken. What have you done with the money? And they didn't answer.
I'm so sorry about that. So sorry that you've had to deal with that. And you were there for a year, wasn't you?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, after here, when you did leave here, could I ask you, where was you placed from here?
After I left there, I left there because I was adopted. Basically, my year was coming up, and apparently my social worker said if my mum and dad hadn't have adopted me, he would have tried to adopt me, which doesn't seem right to me.
It's not at all, that's not right, but maybe that's because he knows how they were treating you within that place.
It's not that, it's a conflict of interest.
I understand that, yeah.
Because if you've got a personal interest in that child, you're not going to be objective.
Most definitely.
Meanwhile, I do have a half sibling, but she was left with my biological mother.
So if mum was so unwell at the time with how they said that things happened, why would they leave one child with her and one child not? Again, that's being neglect from the system. So I'm very, very sorry that you have had to deal with that. And not only that, like you said, you've gone to your adopted parents. Are they who you stayed with when you was adopted from here, from Margaret and Jim? Are they who you stayed with up until you turned a certain age to be able to go off on your own?
I stayed with my adoptive parents the rest of my life. You know, my mum passed last year. And as far as I'm concerned, my adoptive mum is my mum.
Is your mum? So, which is understandable.
Yeah. Because she put in a lot of hours with me, because what they didn't realise when they took me on was I was dyslexic, I've got dyspraxia, I've got autism. You know, and they were told to put me in a special school. They didn't. They put me in mainstream school to see if I could make it. And I fought my way through the school system.
And of course, even still, how they treated you back then, even though it was so many years ago, it's something that's never going to leave you alone. And it's, of course, something that's impacted you for life. Can I ask you, has this ruined your relationship? Trusting people?
Well, unfortunately at 14 I was groomed, which, you know, is not uncommon for any child that's growing up in the care system, because I trust too easily. And I was groomed by a 25-year-old. I've had abusive relationships because, you know, at the end of the day, kids that grow up in the care system just want people to love them. But what's harder is social services now go after the children of kids that have grown up in the care system. Because I had to fight social services to get my son back after they took him off me.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's a never-ending cycle.
And like you say, it's something that they just don't leave you alone to get on with your life and just carry on and continue to be normal. I'm so sorry that you have had to deal with this. And like I say, I understand that money's not an issue or anything that you are doing this for. But you coming forward is also helping people like yourself win their cases, because no one's here to question this or this didn't happen. All I need to do is realise and prove that you was within these foster people under their care, which you will be able to prove because we'll be able to locate your files. She was failed and taken from a happy, healthy home and placed into the foster care of Margaret at 2 to 3 years old. And it's not something that's acceptable whatsoever. Let me just get this on here. Did they ever put their hands on you at all that you remember? Don't worry if not.
Not that I can remember, no. But my mum did say that when my mum and dad got me and I needed the toilet, I would get hysterical because she would say, come on, we'll go to the toilet. And I'd start screaming. Now I can only imagine that maybe I've done that because I've been used to being punished for wetting myself. You know, because she says, you'd do a dance and then you'd stop and I'd know it was too late. And I would take you to the downstairs toilet to change your underwear and you would get hysterical. Not only that, I get invited to birthday parties. And it would come time to leave after the birthday party had ended, and I was only about 4 or 5 years old. And I would be screaming because I didn't want to go because, you know, in my mind, this was the next place I was getting moved to. Because I'd been moved that much, it was just, you know, I was completely unsettled.
I'm so sorry that you have had to deal with this and you've constantly been living in fight or flight mode. Like I say, you've been worrying, like not even to be able to go out to enjoy normal things like normal children would like to do. For an example, go to birthday parties, go out for the day, go to parks and things like that. And that is just purely due to the fact of you're scared and also you're nervous in case anybody wants to take you away from that family where you have started to feel a bit of comfort and a bit of normality. Now, it seems to me the foster family that you have been provided with have done the greater good for you. And like I say, they have done their very best to make sure that you are reassured and also looked after and cared for. But it's not nice to know that you have had to deal with this your whole life. It's unacceptable. And I can reassure you, we will go full steam ahead to get you that reassurance that you do deserve. Again, no money will take away what you've had to deal with. And I understand it is a hard topic of conversation for you to have. But we will make sure that we do our very best to get you this justice. And you speaking up, there'd be lots of other people that would have been placed within the care of this same foster family who may have already started to raise a claim or may be just debating it as they don't feel like it's the right time for them to speak at the moment. But the people who have already spoken up are helping your case and you're helping them. So all I can say is thank you so much and I will make sure to do our very best to get you that justice you deserve. Like I said, there's no figure on the amount that you can receive, but it wasn't wrong for me to give you a direct value. But what I can tell you here and there is the average is at 48,000 at the moment, just so you have got something to look forward to, darling, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, what I also do need to explain to you is that you can apply yourself without a solicitor and you can also instruct a solicitor who participates in government legal fee schemes where anything up to £2,000 is paid by the government for legal advice and you can also instruct a private agreement. Now, we work under a no-win, no-fee agreement, so if your case is unsuccessful for any reason, you will not be charged a single penny. And if the case is successful, the legal team take a fee of 16% plus VAT, which is 20%. Now, that's taken at the overall amount at the end. That will ensure you that they will do their very best to not accept anything less that you qualify for. They'll go full steam ahead and make sure they get everything and file everything for you. Now, as I said, the average is at 48,000. We will be contacting you over the next 2 weeks just to let you know your updates. It would be wrong as well for me to give you an actual time frame of when you're going to be paid. You can be paid in 4 weeks' time. But we just have to tell you 12 months just to be on the safe side whilst the claims are running so we're not giving any false information. Is that okay with you, darling?
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, what we will also require from you is a beneficiary. So basically, if the worst was to happen to yourself over the next few months of the claim ongoing, which we understand won't, I just need to cover it. Would there be anybody within your family, your friends, your circle over the age of 18 that you would be happy for this payment to get released?
That would be my fiance.
Fiance. Can I take his name, please, Janet? Or their name, sorry.
Brian. And it's a double-barreled last name.
Yeah.
Russell hyphen Lang.
Lang. L-A-N-G?
L-A-I-N-G.
L-A-I-N-G. Thank you so much for that. Do you have his contact number? If you don't have it to hand right now, don't worry. I can take it at a later date.
Yeah, hold on a minute. It's 07483.
Sorry, can you hear me, darling?
384-838.
838, no problem. Now, what I'm also going to do for you is I'm going to secure your account with a password. Now, the only reason I'm going to do that is because once the claim goes through, you may get companies trying to give you a call from the Scottish Redress Department. Now, they may offer you something stupid up from like £1,000 or £2,000 as a settlement figure. Now, not to say that would happen, but we have to just protect you and protect ourselves if that was to happen.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to make sure that you're not tricked into accepting anything that's a lot less than what you actually are entitled to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to secure your account with a password. Now, if anybody calls you and you're a bit unsure on who you're speaking to, because it will only be me and the solicitor that you will be speaking to from this department, but just to be on the safe side, is there a word that's memorable to you that you would like us to use as a password for you?
Alexander 08.
Alexander 08. Perfect. So if anyone does give you a call, you just say, what is my password? And if they can't state the word Alexander 08, just hang up the phone on them. And if they're anyone important, they will call you back with that information. Now, I have just popped you a message over on WhatsApp, darling. We would require a picture of your ID and proof of address. Now, have you got anything like a driver's license, a passport, a provisional, a bus pass?
Yeah, I've got provisional driver's license.
Perfect. Now, would you be able to just go and take a picture of that and send that over to me, please? And we would also require a letter. Now, it can be any letter. We can do a screenshot as well. It just needs to be name to you, registered to your address, and have the date on within the last 3 months. Whilst you're doing that, I'm just going to send you a link over just to basically state that you're happy for us to locate your documents and happy for us to go ahead. So and then that on WhatsApp as well, you just save that in your phone, because if you want to track your claim with me directly, I'm not the solicitor, I work for the solicitor, so basically the solicitor will be taking the case further. I'll constantly keep you updated and let you know what's going on. But if you need anything, you can always come through to me and I can get you straight through to the solicitor that way. You call Matthew. So if you could please send over your ID and proof of address for me, I'm just getting this document sent over to you now.
I'm just taking pictures of it now.
Sorry to ask you as well, will you just make sure for me that the pictures are very clear and you can see all four corners in the picture, just because Scottish Redress have been knocking them back at the moment and saying the client's proof of address is covering half of the letter, so it won't respond to you until we've got a full letter. And I just don't want to cause any delays for you, you see.
Yeah.
Is there any reason they won't pay out? They won't, because they don't want to, of course. It's the government. Even back then, what I was saying to people like yourself is, you was failed by not just only the social workers and obviously the care systems. You was failed by the police and obviously people as well around you, because people was going to the police and also being found off the police at 3 a.m. and things like that, in their underwear at the side of a road, and the police was just taking them back to the car homes, no questions asked why this was happening. Now, that's not normal for a starter, and everyone turned a blind eye to what was going on, because it was a big money-making scheme. Of course, having children within the care system, they got paid a certain amount on a weekly basis. So if they could keep you in there as much as you could, or class you as an unruly child and things like that as well, just to keep you in them places, they was doing that. So there's various different ways you have failed, and I can reassure you we'll do our very best to cover all avenues with you.
No, that's me saying the...
Let me just make sure that's come back for you. So you give me a second, Alan. That's brilliant. That's fine. So would you possibly be able to send your ID and proof of address over to me, or can you not do that whilst you're on the line?
I'm just doing that now.
Brilliant. I can confirm it. Yeah. The ID is just too blurry for us to see anything. Would you be able to resend that? I do apologise. They just they wouldn't bother looking at that at all. That's perfect. The ID is perfect.
Just need to retake proof of address.
Perfect. Thank you for that.
That's redone proof of address.
Let me just see if that's come through. Let me just have a look here, darling. Would you possibly be able to retake that? Because it's not got the date on there. The date needs to show that it was sent out within the last 3 months, if that's okay with you. I do apologise.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I can... Might have to kind of.
That's come through now. Let me just see if I can see the date on there. Has it got a date on there when it was sent out?
Yeah, it's at the very bottom.
Perfect. Yes, I can see that processing date. 10th of that's brilliant. So that's everything regarding yourself. If there's anything that you need from me, you bob me a message over. Now, as soon as I've got your updates, I will be in contact with you from the legal team directly. And that should take around 14 days. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be 14 days. You can get a call back in 2 days with your update. It's just how long they acknowledge it and respond to us. But if there's anything you need, even if it's just a quick conversation with me, bob me a message over and I'll give you a call straight back, darling, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you so much for your time today, darling, and I'll make sure that I go ahead and get your case submitted off right away.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nicole. Cheers. See you later. Bye-bye.